UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
UAB Medicine has launched a NeuroNICU program to provide specialized care for babies at risk for brain injury. My guests in this panel discussion today are Dr. Maran Rahmani. He specializes in neonatology and pediatrics, and he's the director of the NeuroNICU program at UAB Medicine. And Dr. Andrew Klinger. He's a practicing pediatrician and a neonatology fellow at UAB Medicine. Dr. Klinger, I'd like to start with you. Tell us just a little bit about the prevalence of brain injury in babies, and what are some of the main causes?
Sure. I appreciate your time and talking with you. So brain injury in babies is a wide and varied cause. One of our main focuses is brain injury in premature babies. And the main reason for the injury in premature babies are kind of two main diagnoses. One is an intraventricular hemorrhage, or an IVH, and the other one is periventricular leukomalacia, PVL. All of these are basically just due to their prematurity. We're talking about babies born less than 30 weeks gestation, even down to as early as 22 weeks gestation. And these babies that are born so early, the development of their brain isn't complete by the time they're born. And additionally, their level of illness when they're born leads them to more likely to develop one of these injuries, the IVH being kind of a brain bleed, and the periventricular leukomalacia is kind of like an ischemic event or the lack of blood flow to the brain. And so all we're trying to do is take care of these babies to the best of our abilities and prevent these things from happening. Now, older babies, they also can have brain injury from a perinatal event during delivery, prior to labor, or even after delivery. And they can develop things like seizures, strokes, or encephalopathy.
Dr. Rahmani, to what do you attribute the rise in neurological damage in neonates? Is it due to the recent increases in survival rates of extremely premature infants? Why do you see this happening? Why did you see the need for this kind of a program?
Thank you. Thank you very much. And if you look at actually, there is overall improvement in the neurodevelopmental outcome among infants born very preterm. So what does it mean is like if you look at advances in prenatal care before 2000 resulted in improving care, but either there's an increase or there's a lack of reduction in neurodevelopmental impairment. But since 2000, there is a rate of improvement in neurodevelopmental care, especially among very preterm infants. So the reason why we think there is an improvement is we think is either because of increase in prenatal and neonatal factors, such as we started using more antenatal steroids and we started doing cesarean sections for high-risk infants, and we also reduce the sepsis. So there is a reduction in neurodevelopmental outcomes or neurodevelopmental improvement. But why we need this neuro-NICU at this point, we thought even though the neurodevelopmental outcome from our center is better compared to other centers in the U.S., we thought we could improve the outcome even further by reducing the variability that we practice among our providers. And we also can provide more or reduce the neurodevelopmental outcome by identifying the high-risk infants and provide the multidisciplinary care tailored towards neuroproduction. So that's the reason why we started the NeuroNICU.
Dr. Klinger, tell us about some of the goals of the program, the essential and ideal components when you're starting and developing a pediatric neurocritical care program. What are some of those key elements you'd like other providers to know that you've included?
Sure. So whenever we set out on our path of developing the NeuroNICU, the first thing we want to do is who are the babies who are the most vulnerable and who could stand to benefit the most. And the first phase that we decided on were these very premature infants, the infants 30 weeks and less. And we wanted to focus on them and seeing how we can continue to improve their neurodevelopmental outcomes and decrease the likelihood of them experiencing a neurological impairment from an intraventricular hemorrhage or a periventricular leukomalacia, and allowing them to leave the NICU with a bright future, things free of cerebral palsy and with improved IQ scores, and so that they will be, you know, great children and productive kids as they grow up and leave our NICU. So that we wanted to focus on these small babies first and help take care of them. And so the biggest thing we thought to do was to just develop a kind of a care plan for them and develop a team that can help us manage these babies the best of our abilities while not losing any of their other care.
I would like to add what Dr. Andrew said. The program
Sure.
is also intended towards to reduce, as you said, reduce the incidence of IVH. And we also want to just avoid a lot of fluctuations in all this cerebral perfusion and changes in what we call transcutaneous monitors. But the ultimate goal of this program is to improve the neurodevelopmental care, especially in babies less than 29 weeks or any babies with high risk, such as term infants with hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy.
Dr. Rahmani, where's the NeuroNICU located? And what kinds of infants are eligible to enroll in this program?
So NeuroNICU is not a special unit. This is a program that is located within the regional NICU at the UAB. So this is one of the kind, only few hospitals have this kind of program. And this program is tailored towards neuroprotective care for the high-risk infants. And in this program, we provide a lot of care. So the cares include how do we just take care of babies, like more we call developmental care to start with. Then we also provide neuroprotective strategies to prevent and damage to the brain, such as interventricular hemorrhage.
Dr. Klinger, what types of care? When Dr. Rahmani was speaking a little bit earlier and he said multidisciplinary care, tell us what that means in terms of the NeuroNICU program and what type of providers that are all working together to provide this comprehensive care.
Sure. So the initial care is usually handled by us, the neonatology team. We're tasked with taking care of the entire baby from its brain to its skin and feet. But other members of the teams also help us out. We have respiratory therapists that help us manage their breathing, whether it's through a ventilator, a CPAP, a nasal cannula. And all of these things are really important for their neurodevelopmental outcome. Additionally, we have physical therapists and occupational therapists that aren't as intimately involved early on, but as these babies are growing and developing and needing new stimuli, these therapists can help them and allow for a new management plan to provide stimulation to help them meet their new goals as they're kind of learning to leave the NICU. We also have lots of other physicians who help us out with their management as it becomes more complex. Dr. Mendoza with the rehab team also plays a vital part as these babies get older and maybe still are experiencing some developmental impact and to help us manage their hypertonia. The neurologists also help us out. Some of these babies experience seizures. And so Dr. Barkin with our neurology team can help us and clearly define and assist what interventions we need and what neonatal seizures are. We also even have neuroradiologists that can help us look at their ultrasounds and MRIs to help us get a better idea of what impact any of events or any of these intraventricular hemorrhages, IVHs, had on their brain development.
Dr. Rahmani, tell us about your pillars of care. And this is for other providers, so they would like to know how you're running the program as far as monitoring and assessment, imaging. Tell us a little bit about those pillars of care and your philosophy for this program.
Sure. So we have four pillars. One is the neuromonitoring. The second one is the neuroassessment. And third one is neuroimaging. And fourth is neuroprotection. I just go one thing at a time. Let's start with the neuromonitoring. So what do we do different than what the usual care? As part of this neuro NICU, we use what we call near-infrared spectroscopy, otherwise called as NIRS, N-I-R-S, NIRS, to monitor the blood, to monitor the brain oxygen saturation, especially in critically ill preterm and term infants. And as the sudden changes happen in the carbon dioxide of the blood, and we also want to monitor the serum carbon dioxide in the blood, we do that by just doing what we call transcutaneous carbon dioxide monitor. Because changes in the carbon dioxide can cause increase in blood flows or decrease in the blood flow. That can cause either increase in the bleed or it can just cause cerebral palsy down the road. So in addition, we also use what we call electroencephalogram in preterm infants, especially who has a high risk for either severe interventricular hemorrhage or infants with hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy. This EEG, so electroencephalogram, is to identify subclinical seizures, and if they have seizures, we may have to just go and treat them. This is the part of neuromonitoring. And the neuro assessment, so what we do, like in addition to our physicians and physical therapists and occupational therapists, our nurses are also trained to identify any abnormal neurological examinations. Infants with abnormal neurological examinations are specially cared by our multidisciplinary team, just like what Dr. Klinger said, is neonatologists, neurologists, neurosurgeons, and pediatric rehab medicines. The third one is, the third pillar is neuroimaging techniques. So for infants less than 30 weeks of gestation, we routinely use head ultrasound, and we do one at 1 week of age, and we also do one at 30 days of life. This is to look for any IVH in the first week of life or to look for post-hemorrhagic hydrocephalus or periventricular locomalacia. And we also do MRI or CT on the preterm infants, especially close to the discharge. And for infants with hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy, we routinely do MRI with a spectroscopic analysis of lactic acid and pyruvate to assess any extent of brain injuries. Again, all these images are read by our neuroradiologists, and they just call us if there are any changes, and they also do any follow-up images when the babies go home. The last one is neuroprotective strategies. So what does that meaning is like for term and near-term infants, especially like when they have any history of moderate or severe HAE, we offer what we call therapeutic hypothermia. This is a whole body cooling, and we just cool the whole body of the infant who has a history of moderate or severe hypothermia. And soon, UAB will also provide this kind of treatment during the transport because we are buying equipment that we can start the cooling at outside the hospital. For infants less than 30 weeks, they are high risk for IVH. So what we have done is like we standardize a lot of protocols to prevent the incidence of IVH. The way that we do is like we develop protocols to reduce delivery room hypothermia, and we routinely give intermethacin prophylaxis. And as we said, we also monitor the blood pressure, and we control what we call the tightly control transcutaneous carbon dioxide. And we also avoid unnecessary boluses, and we do minimal stimulations. So these are our four pillars. One is neuromonitoring, where we specialize, we monitored, and all this, including technologies like near-infrared spectroscopy and EEGs and transcutaneous monitors. And neuroassessment is done by our specialized multidisciplinary team. And neuroimaging that uses head ultrasound, MRI, and MRI with the spectroscopy, and neuroprotection, where we bundle and standardize all the protocols and we tailor the care towards neuroprotection.
Wow, Dr. Rahmani, a fascinating program and so interesting for other providers to hear. Dr. Klinger, looking forward to the next 10 years in the field, what do you feel will be the more important areas of research and what would you like other providers to know about the NeuroNICU program at UAB Medicine and when you feel it's important that they refer?
Oh, great. So looking in the future for the next 10 years, you know, advancements with these, like Dr. Rahmani was saying, HIE babies, the hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy babies, is improving their care. We've already seen, even over the last previous 10 years, the use of whole body cooling in order to improve their neurodevelopmental outcome. But use of adjunctive medications, things like erythropoietin, phenobarbital, Bumex, among other medications that are currently under small trials or even large randomized control trials, that may be the next step to make their development even better than it is currently. I think we also are still in kind of the early stages of improving our care for these very premature and extremely low birth weight infants, less than 30 weeks. As we continue to push the envelope in taking care of babies that are smaller and smaller and earlier in the gestation, the management strategies for these infants is continuously changing. Just over the previous 10 years, we've seen a paradigm shift in how to take care of them from a ventilatory standpoint. And so now moving forward and ensuring that their neurodevelopmental outcomes at 2 years and 4 years and 5 years have also improved, I think that's going to kind of dictate our management in these babies. As far as other providers, and I think the biggest thing is getting these babies to a center like UAB that has the capabilities early is always the best. You know, getting these very premature infants, even if it's the mother before she's delivered, if she's here, those babies have better outcomes. They have decreased rates of IVH just being born within a tertiary center like UAB. Any baby that and other pediatricians taking care of that may have concerns that maybe they're experiencing seizures or stroke or that they suffered a perinatal event and they have concerns for HIE, getting them to a UAB as soon as possible is always the best thing. For the therapeutic hypothermia, we have a six-hour window from birth until they're 6 hours old that it's most effective and the treatment can improve their outcomes. So I would encourage anyone who has any concerns to act quickly because time is brain, as we like to say. So the sooner you get the baby taken care of and we can kind of manage their symptoms, the better that their future can be.
Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being on with us today and telling us about the NeuroNICU program at UAB Medicine. It's great information for other providers to hear. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for tuning in.